Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and this is our fourth episode of Deconstructing the Debates. On Friday, I had an interview with Larry Bates, host of News and Views that precedes this program in Denver, and we were talking about Do Not Murder and how that applies to American judges, and my position is that Do Not Murder applies to American judges, our Constitution notwithstanding, our legal process notwithstanding, and most of our Christian leaders in America. And Larry Bates is a stand-in for them on this program. We're focusing on the show with Larry not because of anything unique on that program, but quite the opposite, because his answers and arguments were typical of most of our Christian pro-life leaders today who will compromise on Do Not Murder and defend laws and judges and rulings who violate Do Not Murder, who rule that you can kill the innocent, and their justification is because it's consistent with our process. So let's continue now. We'll go to the phone shortly, 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. And by the way, this is our February telethon. Our goal is to bring in $10,000 to help Bob Enyart Live stay on the air in Colorado for another year. And we are at a whopping 4.3% of our goal. So we really need your help. So go online to kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART. It's the same number for calling into the show. You could call to give a donation, a gift. We really need a few people to give $500 or $1,000 each. Maybe one person. We've never had anybody give $2,000 one of these telethons, right? So maybe one person out there will give $2,000 and get us right up to about 25% of our goal. So that's 800-8-ENYART. And now let's continue as we're going through clips of Friday's show where Bob Enyart Live met Dr. Larry Bates on the air. So let me ask you this. Is it a pro-choice ruling or an extremist pro-abortion ruling for a federal judge to say you could get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape even when no crime had been reported to police? Because pro-lifers were fighting against this strenuously. And they said, we shouldn't have tax-funded abortion, and this is bogus anyway because they're not even reporting rape to the police and they're getting taxpayer-funded abortions. And Samuel Alito voted to keep it easy to get tax-funded abortions.
All right, that's your editorializing
rape
of that ruling.
No,
but did you read the ruling?
Larry,
how can you make an opinion without reading the entire ruling?
Larry, because
stop
at the beginning of each ruling, the judges state their conclusion of the matter.
Stop
they
the
say,
tape.
This is my opinion,
oh, yeah.
And you don't have
stop
the Thank you. Okay. This was a theme and that Larry Bates was saying, did you read the ruling? And we have on kgov.com our KGov Alito report card. And it goes right to Alito's own opinions that he wrote. And in this case, keeping it easy to get a tax-funded abortion, Blackwell versus Knoll in 1995, you don't have to read the entire case, 40 pages, however many pages it is. You could just read and find out that Samuel Alito voted. He gave his opinion that women can get tax-funded abortions when they claim to have been raped, and that's his opinion. Then he goes on for 40 pages and explains why. But you know what? The why is irrelevant. His why is abortion is legal by our process, and therefore he's justified in upholding it. Our why is it is wrong for any judge to uphold the killing of anyone innocent because God said, thou shalt not murder. And you're not going to find somewhere buried in 40 pages a justification for killing the innocent. You're not going to find that. So that's it's changing the topic. What happens when you debate a liberal or an atheist? What do? When they don't have a good response, they don't know how to answer, they change the topic. So I said, Larry, when Samuel Alito voted to keep it legal to get tax-funded abortions by claiming rape, was that an extremist pro-abortion ruling? And he changed the topic. He wanted to know how much reading I had done that week. Rather than he should have been able to say, you know what, Bob, I didn't know Samuel Alito voted that way. Obviously, I could take your word for it or I could look it up myself, but that is a tragic ruling. That's an extremist pro-abortion ruling. You wouldn't expect a pro-lifer to vote for tax-funded abortions, especially in such an absurd situation. Okay, let's continue with Friday's show. After read all 40 pages, you could read the decision. Larry, do you know that Samuel Alito voted in 1995 in Blackwell versus Knoll to keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion?
Then help me understand, Bob, why NARAL now, Ted Kennedy, Chuckie Schumer, Barbara Boxer, Hillary Clinton, all of these leftists that are pro-aborts, why did they go berserk? Even Kim Gandy, the national president of the National Organization of Women, was so mad she was cussing on national radio about Alito.
Larry,
help me understand why they were so in opposition if this man is not pro-life.
If we look for our guidance to our enemies, we will be led astray. Because anything George W. Bush does, they will hate because they hate Republicans. They view him as a conservative Christian, and they fear and they despise everything he does.
Then, later in the broadcast,
Larry, I just have three more. In 1997, Samuel Alito, as a federal judge, voted to prevent parents from suing for the wrongful death of a fetus. And he ruled that he could find no legal protection for an unborn child. In this case, it was malpractice of a doctor. And by extension, there's no legal protection for an unborn child, even then from a criminal act. It's Alexander versus Whitman. And I suggest to you that this is not a pro-choice ruling. This is an extremist pro-abortion ruling, because all over this country we have laws and we have lawsuits for the wrongful death of an unborn child. And the Supreme Court didn't tie Samuel Alito's hands in 1997 that he couldn't allow parents whose child was killed by malpractice of a doctor, he wouldn't allow those parents to sue that doctor. Let me ask it in a question. Do you think it's an extremist pro-abortion ruling for a judge to prevent parents from suing for the wrongful death of their unborn child?
Well, first of all, is Sam Alito, is he a member of Congress or is he a member of the court?
Okay, Stop the tape. Notice Larry, again, would not answer when I gave him these examples of Alito's extremist pro-abortion rulings. He would never answer. He should say, well, that's sort of a moderate pro-choice position. That's an extremist pro-choice position. Bob, I actually think it's a pro-life position that parents don't have the right to sue for the wrongful death of an unborn child. But it's like debating a liberal, and that's when you know that you're coming from a position of strength, or that's an indication you might be, when the person you're debating, if there's somebody who, you know, professes to know something about the topic, if they keep changing the topic every time you hand them a direct question. So now let's continue. Member of the court.
Okay, so he can't make law, can he?
No. And
that's right. No. All he can do is rule on what the legislative branch has done. Bob, we either have a monarchy or dictatorship. We either
have
Lex Rex.
All right, we stop the tape. There's no law that says that Samuel Alito was forced to deny parents to sue for the wrongful death of their child. They could have done that. You know, the Lacey and Connor Peterson Act? Now, that's been passed since, but there's lawsuits around the country, laws around the country. That is an extremist extension of Roe v. Wade to say these parents, they love their child, they want their child. Their child is killed by malpractice or by extension, even by a criminal. And he could not find it in his pro-life heart to say, you know something, just like judges have with Lacey and Connor, or other similar cases, that is, around the country, these parents have the right to sue. No, Samuel Alito could not find that right. Let's continue.
In other words, the law is king or the king is law. Which
so
do you
so
want?
There was
Which
a
do
law.
You want, Bob? Do
Larry,
you want the law to be king? Do you want the king to be law?
Is where in the Constitution does it say, or what decision says that there could be no wrongful death lawsuit when your unborn child is killed by malpractice or by a criminal?
Where's I don't know. Did you read the whole ruling?
No, I read more
okay.
than
Bob,
any of those who supported
what,
him.
I'm hearing you editorialize what you believe the ruling says,
now,
but you tell me
Larry,
you haven't read the whole ruling.
All right, let's go to the year 2000.
Okay,
Samuel
stop
Alito
the tape.
Voted.
Stop
I
the
read
tape.
The most of this ruling of yep. any of these five.
All right, stop the tape just to finish on that.
If you notice, Larry Bates, not only has he not read any of the rulings, he hasn't looked them up. He's hardly even aware that they exist. And so there's a handful of pro-lifers in the country who did look at Alito's record, and they began publicizing Alito's record. Now, Focus on the Family, just this month, February, Citizen Magazine, you could get to the link on our website from kgov.com. They admit and they list three of Alito's pro-abortion rulings, and they admit it, including these, including that he voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. And their answer, and this is authoritatively from James Dobson, that they approve of his decisions. He was faithfully executing the responsibilities of a good judge. So Focus on the Family has come out now explicitly as a legal positivist organization, explicitly. And perhaps later in the show or Monday, I'll read you an excerpt from the article in Focus on the Family's Citizen Magazine, explicitly approving of Alito's ruling to keep legal partial birth abortion on process grounds. Remember, Peter said we must obey God rather than man when the two conflict? Well, Focus on the Family, Larry Bates, the AFA, Jay Sekulow, their argument is we must obey man rather than God when the two conflict. God said, thou shalt not murder. Now we're going to the 2000 decision with Larry Bates from Friday's show on Alito's ruling to keep partial birth abortion legal.
Did you read it all?
No.
Okay.
Did you read the opinion, the summary of the opinion at the top of this ruling? Okay. Do you know how Samuel Alito voted on Planned Parenthood versus New Jersey, Larry?
No, I don't.
That's the partial birth abortion case. In the year 2000, Samuel Alito voted on whether to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey. Do you know how he voted? Did he vote to keep partial birth abortion legal, or did he vote to keep the ban in place that the state legislature democratically passed the ban that said you cannot perform partial birth abortion in New Jersey? That went to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Samuel Alito voted on that. Do you know whether he voted to keep partial birth abortion legal or to keep it illegal?
What was the basis in his ruling?
Do you know? Oh, I asked him again. Do you know? Let's get that answer. How he voted?
No, I do not, Bob.
Stop the
tape.
That's
tragic.
That's tragic. And Larry Bates let down his audience, his son, his family, all those he influences, because he started out this interview saying that Samuel Alito is the most qualified judge, the best judge nominated to the Supreme Court in his lifetime. And, of course, all these Christian pro-lifers, they're very concerned about abortion. That's supposedly their goal, to get influence on the Supreme Court to overturn, to stop legalized abortion. And the most significant ruling Alito has issued on abortion is his vote on partial birth abortion. How could you know? How could you be so authoritative about Samuel Alito and you don't even know how he ruled about partial birth abortion? And you know what? It's not Larry I'm talking about. It's the entire Christian community. They didn't care how he ruled on abortion. They didn't care that he had 10 years of solid extremist pro-abortion rulings. They didn't care. They supported him before they heard it, and they only heard it because Christians, a handful of Christians, were exposing this. And they prefer to look the other way. And Jay Sekulow, on his national Christian legal talk show, he said, you know what? We don't know how Samuel Alito will vote as a Supreme Court justice, even regarding partial birth abortion. He said, we don't know, but we hope he'll vote the right way. You don't even know on that? Not even on that?
That's like being in Germany and advocating for a judge to take office. And you say, you know what? We don't know how he'll vote on gassing the Jews. We really don't know. But we think he's a good bet. And the reason we're in this moral quagmire is because our Christian leaders compromise on do not murder. And so we don't know what America would have been like if for the last 25 years our pastors and Christian talk show hosts and leaders would have been teaching never compromise on do not murder. We don't know what kind of America and what kind of victories we could have had because they chose not to do that. They chose to teach us to compromise on do not murder, and now we are in the moral mess, the sewer that we are in. Let's continue. Larry, you let down your audience. Partial birth abortion is the most extremist form of abortion in the world. And Samuel Alito, in the year 2000, voted to keep partial birth abortion legal.
What did his whole ruling say, Bob?
It said that because of precedent, he must strike down New Jersey's law banning partial birth abortion.
What precedent did he rely upon?
The U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay.
Now, earlier...
Can a circuit court judge strike down a Supreme Court precedent?
Not by the Constitution, no.
Okay. So, in other words, would you revert to anarchy and...
No, I wouldn't do that, but
Bob, you can't have it both ways. You either have a rule of law or you don't.
You're going the wrong way, because you agreed earlier, when a government sets aside thou shalt not murder, that government has become lawless. The process that you are declaring allegiance to... You're defending Samuel Alito for voting to keep legal partial birth abortion because he's true to the process and the Constitution, but the very process has become lawless because they have legitimized killing unborn children. And earlier I was asking you, if a government sets aside do not murder and a government declares it legal to kill the innocent, do they have the authority to do that? Is that just or right to do that? And you were saying it's wrong for any government to do that. Do you agree that it's wrong?
Well, it's wrong, absolutely.
Well, then, if the government does that through Roe v. Wade and saying you could have partial birth abortion, and a governing official abides by that ruling, either to kill Jews or to kill babies, is that governing official justified or is he guilty?
The question, Bob, is Sam Alito pro-life or pro-abortion?
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Five times I asked that question. And five times Larry Bates changed the topic. Once he answered a bizarre answer that we'll get to. But first I want to take a call. 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. In Los Angeles, California, Dave, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Bob, hello from Southern California.
Thank you, sir.
I'm getting all these legal positivists confused. Was it Sekulow who accused you of the feel-good position?
That was the president of America's oldest national pro-life group, Peter Samuelson.
Samuelson.
The head of Americans United for Life. Yeah, and he said, we're doing this because it feels good.
Well, that's the most ridiculous opinion that I've heard in a long time, because if anything, the Bob Benyard Live take on these issues is not the feel-good position, it's the... I'm going to be in the corner, alienated from everyone else.
Yeah, it's the extremely sobering position. Every time I've done an interview in the last few months with a Christian leader who's justified rulings that kill the innocent for process reasons, when it's over, I have been sick to my stomach. I mean, it makes me feel physically ill. And it is so discouraging. It is heartbreaking, and you're right. We are set aside. We're set on the fringe of the Christian community because we're saying we have to stop compromising on do not murder. We have to stop approving of rulings that violate do not murder.
And I have a suggestion for your show, if you don't mind.
Please, we need it.
Could you please put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show on all shows that you will debate a Christian legal positivist? Because some in the audience might need to go take their blood pressure medication. Some of us, like last Friday, that Bates interview,
yeah,
that just, I was like you, it ruined the weekend. So if you put the disclaimer,
yeah,
I'll just listen to that show on KGov on Monday.
Then you could wait, not ruin your weekend. Dave, I heard from so many people in our audience who, like me, they felt sick to their stomach. And some of the words you're saying, you and I haven't talked, echoed with what others have told me. They were sick to their stomach. It ruined their day.
And, Bob, you're not alone, because I have a small radio show in Los Angeles, and it's actually a spinoff of Doug McBurney's Weekly Worldview.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. We take the news of the week. And
I didn't know this. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we are hitting – I'm going to start putting almost entire shows on legal positivists, because it's not only an interesting topic, but it must be – the light must shine on these people,
yeah,
because
right.
They are the leaders.
You're right. Dave, listen, we want to know more about your show. Will it be streamed on the Internet?
I archive all my shows on the Internet. You can go to davesworldview.com.
Davesworldview.com.
And I did get the blessing of Doug McBurney, because it parallels his show a lot, because I thought that Jason Troyer would pick up where McBurney left, but
yeah.
I guess I just have to do it myself.
You got to do it. Doug, we aired Doug's show on KGov on our website for years.
Great show.
And Doug fills in for me now and then, or is a guest host occasionally. But Dave, davesworldview.com.
Yeah, and I did read the entire Chinese national ruling of Samuel Alito.
Chen versus Ashcroft.
That was devastating.
It was devastating, wasn't it?
And not
that
only
Samuel Alito couldn't find it in his pro-life heart to allow a father whose child was killed by the communist Chinese to have asylum in America, but he sent him back to be persecuted by the same government that killed his child at 8 months of age.
Yeah.
And those are the facts, according to Samuel Alito. He described the facts of the case in his own ruling. I read a lot of that case, but not the whole thing.
Well, Bob, thank you for being a leader in exposing these legal positivists. And God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Dave, I'm thrilled. Thank you so very much. Now in Maybank, Texas, Madeline, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, I'm so fired up over this Dr. Bates issue.
Oh, boy.
You know, you know me, and I'm a pretty easygoing person, and I'm jumping out of my chair these days. I am so worked up over Dr. Bates. You know, when you were debating him, Bob, you were giving him educated information on Alito's rulings. That man was accusing you of being uneducated on the issues when he hasn't even read the opinions.
He's not even aware that they existed or how he voted.
I know.
How could that possibly be more responsible or more informed than looking up his decisions and seeing how did Alito vote? Oh, he voted to keep legal partial birth abortion.
Exactly.
How could it possibly?
So
that was just a ploy. And when you're debating someone who has a weak position, they tend to use ploys, tactics, to change the topic. And that was used repeatedly in a half-hour debate.
Oh, it was. And I was screaming at my husband. I was so mad. So, I just keep up the good work, Bob.
And you know what? I would guess that Larry Bates, of 1,000 judges' rulings he's referred to on his radio show over the many years, I would guess he's read less than 0.5% of them.
Oh, I bet you're absolutely right.
And I would guess in the 1,000 that he mentioned, he got it right. That when he heard that a judge let a murderer go, in reality, the judge let the murderer go. Madeline, anything else?
Yes, I do have one other thing. Bob, you know that Tom and I cannot hear your radio show live. We listen through the Internet.
Yeah.
And your radio show is so vital to us, even though we hear it delayed. And so I want to put a challenge out there to your listeners. Tom and I love you. We love your show, and we are growing in leaps and bounds because of you. And so we sat down and we said, okay, if we don't eat dinner out at all this month.
You mean restaurants?
Restaurants, yeah. McDonald's or Burger King or anything. If we don't eat out at all this month, how much will that save us that we can send to the Bob Inyart show to keep the show on the radio? And so we figured that out. We went online and we made an online contribution for you for your radio telethon.
Oh, Madeline.
And I would like to challenge your listeners to do the same thing.
You mean to lose like 13 pounds each?
Exactly.
No, I'm only kidding.
Exactly.
Madeline, that's humbling. I don't know how to thank you. It's extraordinary. And if we stay on the air, it will be because of people like you and your husband. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Bob.
God bless you. You are just
such a blessing to everybody out there, and so they need to support you, Bob.
Thanks, Natalie.
We love you. We'll see you this summer.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I hate asking for money, hate it with a passion, because of the way it's misused by so many televangelists. So I just hate it. And because it's an excuse that unbelievers use to reject Christ, because they say Christians are all about money and begging for money. So that's why I hate asking for money. But Bob and Yart Live, the TV show, we were on in 80 cities, and we almost never, ever asked for money. And it was a fabulously popular show. And we went off the air for financial reasons, just for financial reasons. And so now we do these telethons, and it's one of the most painful things for me. But please, if you can, help us to stay on the air by calling 800-8-N-YARTS. 800-836-9278 to keep Bob and Yart Live on the air in Colorado, and then that's our base for being on, even on the internet. Okay, let's continue with the Friday show. I'll give you another ruling to show that he's pro-abortion.
No, let's go back. Let's don't dance on it, Bob. Let's go back to the original question. Is Sam Alito pro-life?
He's issued five extremist pro-abortion rulings, not only pro-choice rulings.
Well, he sure fooled his mama then.
His mother's 93 years old, and you don't...
91 years old. She's 91 years old. Okay. A member of the press called her.
Yeah, I remember it, Larry.
Got through on the telephone and was pressing her.
Stop the tape.
She said, of course he's pro-life.
Stop the tape. Most people who kill children don't tell their moms. Most people who are guilty, the mother goes on the TV and says, my son is innocent. That's about equivalent to zero evidence. When you have five rulings Alito issued as a federal judge, and what his mother said, and I didn't know her age. I listened to his show the previous day, and he said the mother was 93 years old, and that's the proof they had that he was pro-life. So it's discouraging. Let's get one last clip. I look at his rulings. I don't look at what he wrote on a job application to a pro-life Reagan administration. I don't look at 15 years ago. I look at the last 10 years, five rulings, extremist pro-abortion rulings.
How are you going to feel when he rules to overturn Roe v. Wade?
I will be thrilled. Stop the tape. Now, Alito, you know how judges will issue rulings on similar topics on the same day, like Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton? Samuel Alito could do this. On one day, he could join in a ruling to overturn Roe v. Wade, and on the same day, uphold the legality of abortion in New York and California on the same day, because his argument is you have to follow the process, not that a child has a right to life. Imagine that. And that's the position to Focus on the Family, too. Not that a child has a right to life, but that you have to follow the process. And if you do, we'll approve of you, even if you kill those kids. This is Bob and Yart. We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out in Arvada and come visit us at church at Denver Bible Church.